This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2096. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. First and foremost, shortwave. On this edition recorded July 22nd, Algeria, Azores, Brazil, Canada, Colombia, Congo, Cuba, Dominican Republic, Ethiopia, Germany, Guatemala, Italy, Korea South, Malaysia, Netherlands, North America, Peru, Russia, Solomon Islands, Spain, UK, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, for a number of years, TDA in Algeria has been registering some imaginary frequencies with HFCC. Two shortwave sites have been under construction, but not yet on the air. Meanwhile, they have actually been broadcasting via France, usually two frequencies at once, mainly in Arabic and with Quran, but occasional bits in French. And a couple of years ago, there was even some English and Spanish, depending on which of the domestic networks was being put on the shortwave transmitters. There is an FB site called Radio du Monde, as you may gather, mainly in French, which has some useful information about shortwave, and here's something that appeared recently, roughly translated. The general manager of TDA toured various distribution centers, including the regional office in Béchar, where there's a medium wave station and long wave, but she also saw the project to build a shortwave center. The Ampegon company in Switzerland won a contract in 2015, but it was rejected several times. It was for the installation of two 300 kilowatt shortwave transmitters and antenna systems, not only in Béchar, but in Wargelas. This was in progress in 2017 and appeared to be completed. Commissioning had finally been announced for 2018, but that was postponed without explanation. There were cooling concerns in both centers due to the dry climate in the south. Cooling machines were then reportedly purchased. TDA announced that it wanted to carry out the commissioning on March 31, 2019. But since that date, no more information has filtered out. However, according to info that has leaked, the project was delayed by air conditioning and power supply concerns. It was about 80% complete. So commissioning of those two shortwave transmitters remains pending. More and more transoceanic FMDX is being reported in the sporadic season. Not only single hop, but double hop in the WTFDA group. Paul Logan in Northern Ireland, who previously picked up a number of Canadians on FM as well as Greenland, is in contact with fellow enthusiasts, including Larry Horlick in Newfoundland, who's picked up the Azores via single hop, about 2,500 kilometers. That's about the maximum extent for one hop of Sporadikes, and thinks it's more common than you might think. I see that the Azores have more FM stations than you might think, but most of them seem to be very low power, a few hundred watts or a few kilowatts at most. However, their band goes down below 88 megahertz, where you're not going to find much interference in North America. So keep an ear on frequencies such as 87.6, 7, or 8 for Azores stations. It might even pay to keep an antenna aimed toward the Azores if you're in eastern North America, although beyond Newfoundland it will require double rather than single hop. One who is doing this quite successfully is Bryce Foster on Cape Cod. Countering the trend of turning off more and more shortwave stations, here's a Brazilian which seems to have come back. Lucio Otavio Bobrovich in Brazil reports hearing Brazilian music on 4965, July 18th at 2254. The current WRTH has no Brazilians on that frequency. However, the 2020 edition, updated to late 2019, did have Radio Alvorada Parintins, 5 kilowatts in Amazonas. And, in fact, Lucio says he heard it as late as last September. So apparently it has come back. And he has another tentative log of it on July 19th at midnight, 47, with ads and Brazilian music on 4965, as well as another Brazilian sounding station on 6940, which might be a pirate, possibly Radio Máxima in Ouro Fino, Minas Gerais. That's July 19th at midnight 9 with religious pop in Portuguese. However, migration from AM to FM in Brazil continues apace. Wilby Garcia found a press report that the RBS group in Porto Alegre, Rio Grande do Sul, announced it is modernizing its radio and TV distribution to the tune of $12 US, which involves the deactivation of two major medium wave stations, Rádio Gaúcha on 600 kHz and Farroupilha on 680, running 50 and 100 kilowatts. They are closing down the last day of July. Wilby Garcia says 600 used to run Farroupilha programming till the 70s when RBS bought the station and rotated programming with Gaúcha 680, while 600 has a protected service area including South and Southeast Brazil, Uruguay, Paraguay, and parts of Argentina. A new transmitter plant was built in 1986, and its 230-meter tower remained the tallest structure in Brazil for more than a decade. Cannot yet say what's going to happen to the transmitter sites and the channels. They might be leased to a third party, or dismantled, or handed back to the government to be reassigned to a new user, or they could be deactivated for good. Brazil has expanded the FM broadcast band, occupying what was formerly channels 5 and 6 television, down to 76.1 megahertz. AM stations may migrate to the EFM band without extra federal taxes. Eric Fetters-Walp near Seattle, Washington says, I tuned to 6030 at 0128 UT July 19th to check on Radio Marti, which usually covers up CFVP Calgary at this hour. That's the reactivated 100-watt station. But he says, instead, I found CFVP with its usual stand-up comedy and a funny 1060 ID at 0130 and no sign of Marti, though I know it was on the air from checking remotes in the east. I could hear some possible Cuban jamming on the frequency, but first time since CFVP came back on the air that it's overpowered Radio Marti at my location. July 19th at 0531, I had an intriguing, just barely audible carrier on 6115. Only two possible stations might be on the air at that time, but Congo supposedly closed down shortwave permanently several months ago, that is, Brazzaville, and it's a bit early for Japan to be fading in long before sunset there. Ron Howard in California has also been tracking this and agreed that Japan was not really coming up until 0606 with a carrier and fair reception after 0730. Shortly after my log of that carrier, July 19th at 0604 UT, Carlos Latouf in Brazil reported that he was getting Congo on 6115 as forwarded by Alan Pennington of the British DX Club. And since then, Congo reactivated on 6115 has been confirmed by several other reports. Jorge Freitas in Bahia, Brazil, was listening at 16 UT via remote in South Africa and was hearing African music there. Manuel Mendez in Spain has also heard it via remotes in Greece and his own reception direct, July 20th until off at 18:30, with IDs in French. Ron Howard said the last time he had Congo was back on January 29th. July 21st, Manuel Mendez in Spain was not hearing it between 0445 and 0600, even using remote receivers, but it was on the air by 0635. He says on July 22nd it came on the air at 0557. So it seems the sign-on time varies widely any time between 0530 and 0630. Still don't know if it's back for good or this is just a test. More to last week's item about Cuba jamming ham radio on the 40-meter band. Clara Lissenspreken found a story in Vice.com of July 20th, headlined FCC Investigating Whether Cuban Government is Jamming Ham Radio. Also, there's been quite a discussion of this at the forum of QRZ.com, trying to keep it non-political. Then Havana Syndrome has also been in the news again. Some kind of attacks upon U.S. diplomats, not only in Havana, but elsewhere. The question is, are microwaves involved? And I say, if so, what's the frequency, Kenneth? That shouldn't be that hard to determine. Sean McHenry says, as many of us with any RF experience know, a simple wideband sweeping spectrum analyzer should be able to pick up the presence of any anomalous microwave energy, pulsed or not. Any radiation should be detectable from subsonic through the highest microwave frequencies. I'm not sure why this would be taking so long to find years by now. Here's another idea that's being floated. Balloons could power uncensored internet in Cuba. Terry Kruger forwards a story from Tampa Bay Times. And in fact, Governor DeSantis has called on President Biden to help the plan take off. Whatever became of Loon, that project by Alphabet, the parent company of Google? It was working to perfect an internet balloon division, but it shut down in January, saying it was not commercially viable. Terry Kruger derides the idea as not brilliant. Remember the aristot of TV Marti? That worked out well. Here's another double-hop sporadic EFMDX report. I mention not that anyone can hope to repeat it, but because it is notable. July 13th at 21:23 UT, Radio Amanecer, Dominican Republic, HIFK, on 90.9, La Ruta de la Esperanza program, was heard by Saul Chernos in Burnt River, Ontario. The midway point of the double hop was out over the Atlantic. Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight notes that not only does Cuba mess up the spectrum with spurs of their jammers, let alone the original jammers, but Ethiopia as well. He says on July 21st, between 17 and 18 UT, the Wednesday-only broadcast of Voice of Oromo Liberation on 15420, and the daily broadcast of Dimse Wegata Tigray on 15340, led to three jammers on each frequency, white noise or DRM-type signal, rapid bubble-type jamming, sounding like a motorboat engine, an oscillating tone repeatedly increasing and then falling in pitch. With those two frequencies both on, he also found jammer spurs, 15265 to 285, 15300 to 315. Of course, RFI itself is on 15300. Also 15370 to 75, and 15465 to 75. Here's more to the info last week about the German shortwave site at Karlkreckel being knocked off the air by those flash floods. Via Manuel Mendez from the Radio Mi Amigo website. It says, off the air due to water damage, unusual heavy rainfall. A very sad picture. Some of the equipment where water seems to have entered the broadcast bunker. A disaster for this unique broadcast center, where Radio Mi Amigo's shortwave 6085 signal has been uninterrupted daily since 2016. The 6085 transmitter is on a different higher level, but all transmitters in the facility had to be shut off due to water in other parts affecting vital electrical power circuits. Christian Milling of Shortwave Service estimated all transmissions, such as 6305 and 3985, might be down for a few weeks. However, some frequencies were again being heard as early as July 16th, not sure from exactly where, 6005 at 20 UT in German, July 17th, 6005 with interval signal at 0457, and Radio Mi Amigo was heard on 6085 at 0945 until off at 1000. But he says no idea if it was via Karlkreckel or a pirate relay. Well, that last report was from Paul Watson in the British DX Club. They had started repair work, but it was difficult to find spare parts for some of the transmitters. Via internet, international vacuum, medium, high, and very high frequencies, World of Radio 2096. Also bringing you the non-commercial website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Mike Newland in Morgantown, Kentucky, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Mike says, thank you, Glenn, for your contributions to this great hobby. I've listened to you since the old SWL Digest on RCI. One may also contribute via money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. Via AER in Spain, Manuel Mendez has the latest news from Radio Verdad in Guatemala. Dr. Madrid says the situation is more difficult because the engineer from Canada says it is extremely expensive to travel to Guatemala this year because of the exigencies caused by the pandemic. He believes it will not be until next year that he can come to repair it, and says it's time that they should think about buying a new transmitter, which would cost a lot of money. That, of course, is about Central America's final shortwave station on 4055. Mike Terry points out that July 20th was the 84th anniversary of the death of Guglielmo Marconi, called by many the father of radio. That prompted Dr. Donna L. Halper of Lesley University to reply, "Truth be told, there are many other contenders for the title. Marconi did one thing better than most. He was a master at getting publicity. He scheduled events. He called the newspaper reporters. And even if his attempt to do X failed, he was masterful at using the failure to encourage reporters to come back for part two when he pledged to show them something amazing. And they always came back because he was colorful and knew how to make his efforts sound even more amazing by using hyperbole and exaggeration, which many reporters, not knowing much about engineering, took as factual. Marconi was in some ways like a celebrity. The press followed who he dated, which dignitaries he was seen with, his predictions about technology. He knew how to make news and how to live the lifestyle of the rich and famous. By some accounts, in the U.S., he hired a young David Sarnoff to buy flowers and gifts for his various mistresses. As a celebrity, Marconi was able to write his story the way he wanted it written, to the frustration of other inventors, like Tesla and Fessenden, who may have done just as many amazing things, but lacked Marconi's ability to manage the press and get publicity for himself. So, father of radio, that's probably not accurate, but the title Marconi claimed for himself and the folks of his day went along with it. Horacio Negro in Uruguay adds, Marconi was also very clever in patenting his practical achievements. Radio does not have a father, it has many parents. That was filed under I for Italy. Upon Asilo Mar State Beach, California, Ron Howard has this week's frequencies for clandestine from South North Korea, VOH. As of July 21st at 10:01 UT, 3990, 4885, 6000, 6250, 6355, and 9100. Ron Howard was also monitoring the only two shortwave frequencies remaining from Malaysia on July 22nd, which was Independence Day in Sarawak. Unusually, the two were in parallel, 9835 and 11665, although they come from peninsular Malaysia, intended to be heard in Sarawak. 1220 to 1313, there was a speech by the chief minister, Abang Johari, mostly in vernacular, but some English. After 1313, they split again with 11665 back to YFM programming, while 9835 continued with Independence Day celebrations. Ivo Ivanov, Observer Bulgaria, reports some frequency registration changes for offshore music radio Rock Power via Nijmegen in the Netherlands as of July 15th, although I'm not sure any of these have been heard. As scheduled previously, all of these are supposedly available 24 hours, 7215, 13685, 15270, and 17515. However, 7275 has been changed to 6170, and there's additional frequency 7220, all of them in Dutch. Under North America, as in pirate radio, in the Michigan ARE tip sheet, Jack Amanar passes along some sad news that Art Arnold has died into CPR on July 5th, according to Thomas Sundstrom via SWL Fest, of a diabetic emergency and a stroke. Harold Cohn said it was Art who keyed the transmitter in his car in the Fiesta Motor Inn parking lot for the first ride of Pancho Villa, if one were there and knew about it. So I'm wondering if his was also the voice of Pancho Villa. From Durango, Mexico, Luis Alejandro Valle Bueno informs me that there's a special programming coming up on WRMI, UT Thursday, July 29th at 0300 on 5800, also produced by Bill Tilford, a special programming dedicated to the bicentennial of independence of Peru. It's called Peru le canta a las Americas, Peru sings to the Americas. And Luis Alejandro offers QSLs for reports sent directly to him, vallebueno@gmail.com. More about this from Bill Tilford. A special hour of Peruvian music hosted by Luis Alejandro Vallebueno with guests Estefania Rivera and Uncle Bill Tilford on WRMI sponsoring the program in Spanish towards Central and South America, but the back end should be listable in much of North America. Music, a combination of world-famous artists and others, probably not known outside of Peru. Also some items regarding history, customs, and shortwave in Peru. Speaking of Marconi earlier, the Russians never miss a chance to promote their own Alexander Popov as the inventor of radio. But in Rusty X, there's a report this week about a monument honoring Alexander Popov being demolished at the Bertsk radio plant and upset about it. Rusty X also reports on the fines against Radio Liberty for failing to register as a foreign agent. They exceed $2.2 megadollars U.S. or 169 megarubles. There are a total of 650 different complaints, but there is currently no information on payment of those imposed fines. On July 19th, Ron Howard in California was hearing Solomon Islands on 9545 past 0730 UT, in fact, past 0800. But the next night, July 20th, they were back on 5020. They normally change to that frequency at 0500. From Guia de la Radio via Pedro Sedano in AER, Spain, the City Council of Pals and other entities oppose the demolition of Radio Liberty. That's Playa de Pals near Barcelona, where there was a large Radio Liberty transmitter site during the Cold War. The Catalan History Circle and the Radio Liberty Virtual Museum want to rehabilitate part of the buildings to become a historical and natural landmark. The old facilities are a landmark of the Cold War, unique in the world both historically and archaeologically. Mike Terry forwards an item from SwissInfo.ch that over 60,000 petitioners want the government to rethink plans to begin phasing out FM radio next year in favor of DAB. The June 2nd edition of the English version of the international side of Spiegel in Germany has a story headline, Taking Aim at the Beeb. The BBC is under pressure as Boris Johnson tightens the screws. On the eve of its 100th birthday, unclear what the future holds. Or should I say, Boris Ivanov. July 16th developments at WBCQ. 9330, back on the air, but with a much weaker signal. It's obviously not the superstation, but one of their old transmitters, substituting with World's Last Chance radio programming. First reported by Dave Zanto in Wisconsin. And then a totally new frequency from WBCQ, quite a surprise, 4790. Richard Langley in nearby New Brunswick heard it first, July 16th at 2044, carrying the Overcomer Ministry, and it's been on the air continuously, I think, since then, 24 hours a day, as I've checked it via remote receivers also in the daytime. I wonder who does WBCQ frequency management. 6160 was obviously a bad choice, since Cuba was already on 6165, but 4790 is quite in the clear. There are no other broadcasters nearby. Both of those, of course, slightly off frequency, being crystal controlled. Bennett Z. Cobb tells us a new document filed with FCC opposes the conversion of experimental high-frequency trading stations licensed under Part 5 rules into international broadcast stations. HFT stations use shortwave to transmit data to foreign financial markets as part of split-second algorithmic trading at high-speed computers. As FCC licensees, they are supposed to be engaged in conducting scientific experiments and licensed only for the duration of those investigations. To establish stations that could continue operating indefinitely, three obscure companies, Parable, Terms Tech, and DPA Mac, have applied for international broadcasting licenses in a services devoted to audio programming for the public, without any role in high-speed computer trading by private clients. The FCC has not issued licenses to any of these. Only one of them claims to have already built its station in New Jersey. Radio engineer Alex Pilosoff of Shortwave Solutions is a consultant to experimental HFT stations. He scoffs at the proposed transformation of experimental stations into broadcasters that are actually devoted to non-broadcast private communications, which FCC rules do not allow. John Carver in Mid-North Indiana says, there's this news snippet that WBAA 920 has been sold, the first and oldest radio station in Indiana, by Purdue University, NPR affiliate. It's being taken over by WFYI in Indianapolis. Andy Robbins of another public radio station in Kalamazoo says, according to the trade publication Current, this is not a sale, not yet, but a license management agreement, LMA. WFYI will operate WBAA on Purdue's behalf while the university retains the license. The staff will remain in place. The station will not become a repeater of WFYI yet, but these sorts of agreements have a tendency to mutate over time. This supposedly results in a better listener experience, but centralized systems provide next to no local news, which gets lost in the process. And the bean counters couldn't care less anyway. And there's more medium wave news from Indiana. Brock Whaley in South Carolina says WFNI 1070 will go dark August 2nd. It's 50 kilowatts day, 10 kilowatts night from Indianapolis. This results from the sale of some of the land under the station's AM transmitter and tower array in Whitestown, Indiana. You may recall that this 1070 was once News Talk WIBC. However, Ben Dawson says it's very likely it will not go dark, but MS will request some special temporary authorization for limited low-power operation from some other AM site or some temporary antenna lash-up. That's because they've got to keep it going in order to feed the FM translators. Larry Will in Maryland notes that two stations in his area near Washington, D.C., seem to have changed their formats to deal with gambling and betting. They are WJFK, of all things, Morningside, Maryland, on 1580, and WJZ 1300 in Baltimore. I continue to hear a barely audible carrier on 4975 at night, but never any modulation. There is a Euro pirate or two on that frequency, but I don't think that's what I'm getting. Rafael Rodriguez in Colombia has been following this, too, since July 4th, and he says, I thought it at first it was the pirate from Europe, but he's hearing it after 2330 UT when it is not to be heard on remotes in Europe, and he thinks it's coming from the Caribbean area. On the other hand, there is a Colombian pirate at 6016.7, not every day, between 23 and 02 UT, more or less, a variety of music, sometimes relaying stations such as Olympica Stereo, Caracol, W Radio, or Blue Radio. It's been on the air since mid-March. It was off in May and June, but resumed 3 weeks ago. It's heard via remote in Bonaire, where it's heard very well. So he thinks it's from the north coast of Colombia. In April, he heard them call themselves El Prado Radio Organization. Propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder issued July 19th. ANKNC is only 5-2 or 8-3 until August 10th when active conditions hit, peaking at 12-4. Solar flux peaking at 90 July 26th to August 1st and down to 75 by August 3rd. And so concludes another World of Radio, number 2096. Thanks for listening. I'm Glenn Hauser, inviting you to hear me again next week with a standard disclaimer.